continue on this pace, by the end of the year, we will have 324 people filled with the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Isn't that great? Surpassing our 268 of last year. This is what it's all about, seeing people filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. God is just so great and so good. Now, we will be taking a special offering up after Brother and Sister Smith minister to us, and then he will come back and conclude the service. But we're just so thrilled to have with us our very own Lenny and Kathy Smith. It's good to have Brother Paul Smith here, and also Lenny's mother. All right, she's hiding behind Brother Jeff. Jeff, even when you sit down, you're taller than her. Okay, but it's good to have the Smiths with us, precious people. Aren't you thankful that some people will? I say some people, not everybody can, simply because it's not their calling. But they can sell out, sell everything, move to a foreign country, and preach the gospel. Now, we're not selling you that stay behind short, because this is also your calling. There's a lot of work to be done throughout the states. An example, yesterday our outreach team went out and they invited people. Today there was three or four people that came to church. I'm not for sure just how many. But Brother Mark, where is Brother Mark? Oh, three people. And we're just so very grateful for them taking the time to go out and touch people. Last week we had our very first outreach service in Truax Complex in their community center. Two people were filled with the baptismal Holy Ghost there. Praise God. You know, since Kathy came into the church, there's only one thing she's wanted to do, and that is to be a missionary. She always talked about, I want to be a missionary, I want to be a missionary, I want to be a missionary. So then she married a farmer, and she started working on him. I'm not for sure it happened that way, but Lenny, it's just so, so good to have both you and Kathy here. And we want to give you a warm welcome if you come and present your burden for Antigua. Give them a great big warm welcome, would you?
Praise the Lord. Let's do that for Jesus. He is worthy. Yes. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, you can be seated. I want to say, Pastor was just speaking about outreach. You know what outreach is? Outreach is reaching out. That's what outreach is. It's reaching out. And we believe that in Antigua. And God has been so good to us over all these years. Could I see a hand of those of you that are 5 years or newer, that have been in the church 5 years or less? Amen. That's awesome. Amen. And Sister Smith's going to share a little story with you about one of our new babies that came because of outreach.
It's good to see everybody. It's good to see my old friends that aren't so old. And all new faces. It's good, Brother Grant. Every time I come back here, I always feel like a kid. Because Brother Grant makes me feel like I just came in the church, like I'm a kid. This April, it will be 37 years ago. Wow. And some of you, some of my old friends, most of you look the same. A few are a little bit grayer. But it's really good to be here. I love God. I love the truth. I want to share quickly a story that happened. You know what? You have people today. I heard about someone receiving the Holy Ghost on the phone. That's awesome. That is awesome. Right before I left, I've only been in the States for about, I think, a week and a half, and I'm only going to be here about another week and a half. I'm going to be here 3 weeks. I got to go back and take care of the church. But Brother Smith is traveling around, and then Ben and Victoria will be traveling around also. But I do want to tell you this story about Jessica. For a while, we had a number of young men that were in the church. We were kind of, and it's really unusual, but we had a lot of good young men. We were kind of lacking on the women's side. So I started praying, God, you got to, really what I prayed is, I said, Lord, you know how I pray for my boys? You know, you always pray for your kids to have a good spouse. And I said, I got all these boys. They need a good wife. Please bring some good women in. And then all of a sudden it seemed like it started happening. Lately we've had one good lady come in after another. But I want to tell you about Jessica. When she came in, God brought her in through a wrong number. God can do that. You know what? He searches for us, and he's calling us a long time before we ever come in. And Jessica, we met her now at 17, but at 13 years old, she was invited to an apostolic church, and she was baptized in Jesus' name. Well, we think. We don't really know 100%, but I'm assuming because it was an apostolic church. So at 13 years old, she was baptized in Jesus' name, but there was no one there to mentor her, or she didn't go back, and she really didn't know the significance of any of it. At 15 years old, she's praying in her bedroom, and she receives the Holy Ghost. But she didn't even really know what was happening. She told me the story later on. She was covering her mouth, trying to almost stop speaking in tongues because she didn't understand it. She really didn't know what was going on. So at 17, just recently, our young people go out every Saturday on outreach, and our youth pastor, Geraldo, got a number of a young lady by the name of Jessica that wanted a Bible study, and she wanted to come to church. So he calls this number, and someone else, I don't even know to this day if there's really a Jessica, like at that number or whatever. I haven't seen that other Jessica. What happened was he calls the number and someone gives him a different number and says, this is where you can reach Jessica. So he calls Jessica up and he says, you know, you're interested in a Bible study? You're interested in coming to church? And she's thinking in her mind, I didn't say I was coming to church. I didn't say I wanted a Bible study. So then she goes on, she goes, you know what? She's thinking, I like church. I like a Bible. I would like a Bible study. So she said, okay. But come to find out, it wasn't even the writer, the same Jessica. So he teaches her a Bible study that night out in the veranda outside. And then she comes to youth on Friday night. She comes to church Sunday morning. And then when I'm talking to her, basically telling her, you know, you really need to get involved in an apostolic church. That's the only type of church that's going to meet your needs. But she doesn't really even know. She doesn't even know what she's experienced or what she's had because she hasn't been discipled at all. And so then she comes, she was there Sunday morning, she came Sunday night, and then they knew I was leaving on Wednesday, so she's asking for a Bible study, and I said, I'll teach you a Bible study. I taught one young lady, Lisa, Bible study Sunday between Sunday morning and Sunday night. Then Jessica comes. I told her I'd teach her one in the morning, and then another young lady was going to come later in the afternoon. Our Bible study went for four. I don't recommend this, guys, okay? But our Bible study went for 4.5 hours. It went for 4.5 hours on Monday. It went for about 4.5 hours on Tuesday. And it went for about 4.5 hours on Wednesday. We started at 11 o'clock, and we'd finish about 3:30, and I'm like, I am so tired. I told her, you are wearing out the saint of the Most High God. But she was so hungry, she kept wanting more and more. The very first lesson she asked me, she asked me about holiness. And I said, I usually don't talk about that the first lesson. And so I said, I kind of put her off, and I said, well, maybe maybe Wednesday or something. But then we start talking about baptism, the Holy Ghost, because she didn't even know what she had. Well, she ended up, she actually decided by Wednesday night, she wanted to get rebaptized. We told her, I said, it's up to you, but we didn't know 100% how she was baptized. So she decided, you know what, I want to make sure. I don't want to have no doubt. And it's also like a new start or a fresh beginning. So she did get baptized Wednesday, but then she told me all these stories about, like, from 15 to 17, how she struggled. And she said, God, I just want to give up. I'm so confused. I don't know what is right. I don't know what to do. But she said, I love you so much. This is a 17-year-old young lady. Like, her maturity was so... I just sat back and go, wow, God, you're so awesome how you've drawn her and how you've led her and stuff like that. But she was asking me, we start talking about all different things, but even the Godhead. This is unusual Bible study because we just start talking about all these different things. And she says, I see it. I understand it. And it was just like all of her understanding. She says, yes, this is right. This is truth. This makes sense. And so she was just like, tell me. And then she told me about this, about holiness. She goes, if I only have one thing that's right, she said, I am not too filled with pride. She said, I will wash it and just keep wearing it. And she says, I want to do what's right. She's like, tell me. Like, she was basically telling me, tell me everything that's right. I want to do it. It's like, wow, God, this is almost too good to be true. But anyways, but then since then, she came to, she's been coming to every service. She came, we teach Bible school on Wednesday night. So she came to Bible school on Wednesday night. Friday night, our youth is like 13 to 35. She brings her mother. Her mother's my age. She brought her mother to youth service. And then she's telling everybody that her mother was going to start Bible school the next Wednesday night. She went out on two outreaches on Saturday. So she's already saying, I got all these friends and all these people that... I want you to teach Bible studies, or even her. She would be willing. She's that type. But anyways, it was just so amazing how God, and God does it all over the place. So this is not no totally unique story, but I did have to sit back and say, God, you're so awesome. Here's a young lady that's confused, that doesn't understand even what she's received. And God, you have led her and led her and led her. And through a wrong number, but it was a right number, she comes in. So it's awesome. Lord bless you. I'll let you talk to Lynn.
Praise the Lord. I do get to travel around, and I've been in a number of churches, and I've asked them, Pastor, I said, who out there has prayed for somebody to receive the Holy Ghost or be healed in a service? And a good number of people have raised their hands. Then I say, now how many people have done that on the street? I'm lucky if I get one person that raises their hand up. And we're praying them through over the phone. You guys just went out and had outreach and you prayed a bunch through there and there and there. This is the church, is not this building, but it's you and me. And if we're going to affect this world, we got to be in the field. I can build the biggest barn. I used to farm. I can build the biggest barn. I can have the biggest silos, the biggest grain bins. But until I go into the field, Pastor, ain't nothing going to be in the barn. Ain't nothing going to go in the grain bin. We got to get involved in the field, in the harvest. Amen? So I want to read a scripture, if you'd put up Romans chapter 10. Amen. And then we're going to have a little video you can kind of see, but I changed it this year. Benjamin's coming, I think, in July or June or sometime. July. He's going to show you this year. But what I'm going to show you, because a good number of hands went up, you've only been here 5 years. But you need to know where we started from and why we started that way. Amen. Here in Romans chapter 10, it says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Well, how do you call on his name? What's the next verse? How shall we call on him in whom we have not believed? And how shall we believe in him, Jesus, of whom we have not heard? And how shall we hear without a preacher? Now, what's the next verse? And how shall they preach except they be sent? In 1997, we were so just kind of frustrated because God kept shutting the door. We wanted to do something in missions. And we sat down with Pastor, and Pastor said, why don't you go to the Caribbean? And basically, that's what happened. We made contacts, and God opened up the doors, and we were sent by Pastor, by this church. You sent us to preach the gospel to every creature. That's why we're in Antigua. Not because we just decided to go, but because we were sent. You got to understand something, church. We didn't go there by ourselves. When we went, it was like you were there too. And what you guys are doing, we're doing. We're an extension of this church. We were sent. Amen. If you could start the video. This is from the beginning to 09. And get ready to pause it if you can. That was our first, we had a little 500 square foot apartment there. And that was our first family that came to the church. You see how big Benjamin and Lance were at that time. They weren't so big. We would take the kitchen table out, preach underneath the steps. We could get 14 chairs in there. And within 2 weeks, that was our, pause it there. Anyway, you see that first Bible where that Benjamin was standing by that sign? We put that sign out, free home Bible studies. In 3 days, we had 3 Bible studies. Then we didn't change because we put up the sign again. But at this place, in 3 months, God blessed us with that 4,000 square foot house. Amen. And that little Toyota Corolla 4-door car. You know, you guys got 15 passenger vans and buses. Well, we get 14 people in that car because we put them in the trunk. And that's the truth. We would haul them in the trunk, and that was our transportation. You only got so much time to pick up people, and you got to have church. So we said, if you want to come to church, there's the trunk. Hop in, you know. And we just shut the door and take them to church. But it's because we were sent. We did, and all them boards, man, we were known as the church with the yellow signs. I had about 5 or 6 of those signs up. I'd go to the next door. There was a hardware store, and he would get these crates with the chipboard. The chipboard ain't no good, but it'll work for a sign. So I'd paint it yellow and black lettered, and free home Bible studies and Bible school and all this stuff. And when we told the people where we were, oh, you're the guys with the yellow signs. That's us. We did what we had to do to make it work. Go ahead. And there was a bunch of ash from the volcano next door in Montserrat. And we cleaned the place up. It was real dirty. You can see all the signs hanging out. That's one of the other families there. This was back in 99. That was in November of 99. There's Ben and Lance and Kaywa. The first year we were there, we had a Hurricane Jose. Amen. And the water was just like, we prayed for a hurricane because we wanted to see what it was like. After we seen what it was like, we didn't pray no more for a hurricane. Amen. That's John and Nelly. He's a police officer. That's Benjamin getting baptized in the ocean on his mama's birthday. That was the hurricane when they were catching the water and everything was a mess. Then we went out to the ocean because I wanted to see what the ocean looked like when the hurricane was going. Amen. Pastor, you never know what they're going to turn out when you baptize them. Let me tell you. Amen. There's K-Wall getting taught a Bible study. There's Molly. She was the first lady that received the Holy Ghost. Amen. In Antigua. In the beginning, we just had the plastic chairs. And after a while, we built wooden pews there. Amen. We built the baptismal tank in the back. I think that one lady, she came from Anguilla and got baptized, and she went on. But all these people, most all of them received the Holy Ghost and were baptized in the precious name of Jesus. Because you guys sent us. That's John, the police officer. Amen. That's Charlie Spencer and his wife. He dug all the footings for the church for nothing when we built a new building. All because I helped him fix his back hole. There's Kenneth on this side. Amen. He's a pastor from, or a preacher from Nevis. He came to take our place when we had to go back home. That's when we were building the baptismal tank in the back. And then we just made it out of blocks. Then we plastered it, painted it, and filled it up with water and made good use of it. That was our first Bible school. That was the graduates. And Benjamin, got to pause it there. Know who that is. In 2002, I said, we were in pastor's office. I said, Pastor, we need a bus. You can't haul that many people in the little Toyota Corolla. And pastor said, I'll give you so much money, you find yourself a bus and ship it down there. But I tell you what, that we still use that bus today. When we first went down there, it would cost us $200 to fill the tank up on that thing. Now it costs us $470 to fill the tank up. In EC money. But you got to understand, we're dealing with EC people. It's $470 just to fill that bus up. So we don't use it all the time. Only when we have to. And it's our spare bus now because we got, that's got a V10 in it. Our other one's got a straight four. But them other ones, they're on the, right now I got a transmission out of one because it's wrecked. And we got to get that fixed. But I got good young men that are able to fix it. Thank God. But that bus, it wasn't just a bus to carry people. You don't know how many loads of blocks I carried. That bus had the seats out of it more time than it had it in it. Because it wasn't only our church bus. It hauled our blocks. It hauled our cement. It hauled our lumber. It hauled the roofing. That bus has been used for everything. We'd get over 2 tons of blocks in there. It's a 1-ton van, but hey, we just fill it up and drive it, man. That bus has been used, and we are so thankful. See, we couldn't have did what we did, but you guys gave. You gave us a bus so we could do the work that God called us to do. And if anybody feels like giving us another bus, we could use one because our other ones are about on their last leg, let me tell you. But anyway, we are so thankful for that bus, and we're still using it. It's still there. Amen. Go ahead. There's Liana. Amen. We've had a number of people come down. There's Fitzroy. He's still coming strong. He doesn't have no legs. He's in the wheelchair. Families that have come in. And amen. That's Pastor Herbert. He's in the island of St. John's now. That's Pastor Williams. He's in the island of St. Kitts. Pastor was there. Offered Monkey. There's Lance. He was playing the guitar. We were having a street meeting. Has some of our young people there. One of our Sunday school classes upstairs. Some people that received the Holy Ghost are baptized. One of the Christmas plays the young people did. Jason being baptized. His mama being baptized. Amen. There's the church in 03. Family right there. Another family. Very seldom did we ever have a mother and a father family. Berkey still comes. Berkey's blind right now, but we pick her up on Sundays. Mom does her clothes for her. Amen. It was just a Christmas thing. One time we took the youth out to the beach. We don't do that no more, but we did then. That's when we were building the pews for that church. Amen. One of the young ladies there. That was a Sunday school class we had upstairs that was outside on the veranda. And that was the inside Sunday school. And then the play that they put on. We would get 90 people in that little sanctuary. That sanctuary is 25 feet wide by 18 foot deep. And we'd get 90 people in there, Pastor. There's just some of the little kids there. We had 4 buses running at one time. The only one that's still alive is the white Ford. The other ones are dead. Nellie and Walter being baptized out in the ocean. Pause it there. That's a 13-year-old young man. His name is Geraldo. And now he's 22 and he's our youth pastor. And he is mightily used by God. You don't know who you baptize, Pastor. It's neat to baptize people, but what's neater is to see what happens to their lives. He's already got his license. He's got his local license. He's going to be one of our pastors. He's already the youth pastor, and he does a tremendous job. He's our bus driver. He's our drummer. He's one of my right-hand men. If I need somebody to lay blocks, pull wire, do carpentry work, plumbing, it doesn't. He can do it because I taught him. See, what we are to do is we take what we have and we invest it in somebody else so they can invest it in somebody else, so you can invest it in somebody else, and that's how it goes on. Because we take what we have and give to somebody else so they can give it to somebody else, so they give it to somebody else. Amen? He's our youth pastor, and he's doing, man, he's just so awesome to see what he is doing now. Every Saturday, man, he's out there beating the streets. He's teaching. He just taught a Bible study 2 Mondays ago. Monday morning, taught a Bible study. They baptized the guy. I've had 3 people baptized since I've been gone. So what does that tell you? They are doing it. And I'm not there. So obviously, there was a transfer. Amen. He was teaching the Bible study. The guy said, I need to do this. And they baptized him on a Monday afternoon, right after the Bible study. Go ahead. And there's Ingrid. Some of them are there yet. Some are gone on. Some moved back to their other islands. That's our one of our praise singers and our choir director. That's Mauricia, his sister. That's Sister Brown, their mother. They are tremendous, used by God. Amen. Sister Brown also preaches for us. This young man that got the Holy Ghost and was baptized. Brother Shirley, Steve Shirley was down there, preached for us. Sister Cicely, she got married to Kenneth and moved to Nevis now. She was one of our Sunday school teachers and praise singers. Amen. Remember Brother Smaltz? He was down there in 2003 and preached our, there's Brother Smaltz. Amen. He was preaching for us our conference. Sister Smaltz praying for Sister Bartlett. His brother Herbert. Amen. He pastors a good work in St. John's. God has used us. There's Sister Karen, man. She looks like this little girl, but she's got 3 girls. There's Eugene, man. He's our keyboard player. He's one of our preachers. There's Benjamin, got his foot mashed up because I broke it into Bobcat. That's when Eugene got the Holy Ghost. He was going back to Cuba to go to school. Pause it there. See how little Uraldo is, man? He's this little kid, but he gave up all his free time off of school so he could help pastor do a work. We had Charlie came and he dug all the dirt out because it used to be so muddy in front of the old building, and we poured cement there, so we dug it all out. And there's Ben and Uraldo, which is a lot bigger now. Uraldo's bigger than me now. Amen. But back then he wasn't. Amen. But then we poured the cement there so we had a nice driveway. Amen. But there's no work too hard to do. Amen. You just do it. Go ahead. And Uraldo gave up summer after summer when we were clearing the land so we could get the work done. He was our bongo player back then, but now he plays the drums too. Sister Hope being baptized. It was so awesome, man. When she went up on the beach, she just fell down. The power of God came so strong there. When people are standing around on the beach looking at you going like, what are you guys doing? It's like, we're just praying, man, having an awesome time. And some of the things they gave us for one Christmas one time. There was a choir we had. And things have changed throughout the years because people come and people go. Amen. A lot of times they go back to the other islands. There's Brother Miller. He was there taking our place one time. Another shot of different people at another time. The Millers are from Iowa. They came and helped us on that littlest guy there. He came down. The Thompsons, excuse me, came down. Brother Earl, he's still there doing good. But it wouldn't have been possible. I wonder who that guy is. Amen. That's Sister Gillis and Brother Gillis. They were our first replacements. They came down a number of times, Brother Gillis has, to He helped put the ceiling in the church, the new church, and he built the cabinets. See, we can have church. We don't need a building occupancy. We had church with no roof. We just sit on 2x6s and blocks, and then we got a roof finally, and we still had church there. Amen. That's when Brother Malice came down. Amen. And that's how we had church. Amen. And God blessed it. Pause it. Thank you, Wisconsin District, and everyone who's helped with the building project. Because when we went to build that building, Brother Malice had 30 guys. Parkway already paid for their tickets to come down. Parkway paid for half of their tickets. The guys had to come up with the other half. Brother Malice says, Brother Smith, how much money we got to build? I said, zero. He says, we got all these tickets bought. And Brother Putnam and the board got, we had a little meeting, and he says, Brother Smith, how much money you need? I said, well, to get the cement and the blocks to get started, we need about $40,000+. And in 5 minutes at district conference, it didn't even take 5 minutes, I don't, they raised $46,000. People, pastors were bawling and crying and weeping. Everybody just was just, it was unbelievable. And the money was there so we could start building that building. And the same thing, we went to the Thompson's Church, Pastor Williams, in Des Moines, Iowa. We went to, right after we got done with district conference, we went out there and we had a service. And Pastor Williams says, we got a family that has been to that church. We need to help the Smiths to raise money to help them build their building. And the same thing happened, Pastor. They had not even 50 people in the church that night. And they raised over $6,000. They had little kids coming up saying, I'll give $20. I'll give my allowance. I'll give my savings. People were crying and falling out, the same thing. And Pastor Williams looks at me and says, Brother, we don't got that kind of money. I said, well, I didn't have it when I come here, so. God will take care of you if you will trust Him. He will take care of you. And He uses people to do it. Amen. Go ahead. See, there's no windows. And we still had church. There's little Lisa that was being taught a Bible study, but that's when she got the Holy Ghost. Them are all medical students from AUA. And we just got in AUA Wednesday and we preached there for the first time. We teach them the Word of God early. There is Jake, man. He came because he said, I'll come one time. Didn't leave me alone. And when he got there, God gave him the Holy Ghost. That's Uraldo preaching. Eugene preaching. That's Brother Cole Price. He's the one that asked us to come to Antigua to start the work. Brother McNair. They were both from Canada. Benjamin preaching. This is way back when. And God has grown these guys up. That's one busload. That's not the church. That's from, all those people came out of that bus. That's our next door neighbor, Cynthia. She came because I took her a loaf of bread. And I said, here's some bread for your physical needs, but why don't you come to church tomorrow for your spiritual needs. And God baptized her in the precious name of Jesus. As Brother Long, he was there. Amen. Took our place a number of times. That's when we baptized in the cow tank yet. Before we had the new baptismal tank built outside. Take some to the ocean. See all these people that are baptized and filled the Holy Ghost? You're a part of that. That happened because you sent us. Amen. That's Chanel number 5 there. That's Tiffany. She loves going out on the street, man. Amen. When they were at the AUA, she got this lady in the corner, pulled her off and started teaching her Bible study right away. She's real shy in church, but she's not bashful when it comes to teaching the Word of God. That guy we took to the ocean because he was big. I mean, he was big. That Sister Chance, Sister Brown kept saying, so you think you're saved? She kept saying, yeah, I'm saved. She got to the church and had a Bible study. Mom's teaching her Bible study on baptism. And she begins to weep. At 13 years old, she had the Holy Ghost. She was 62 years old there. And she said, all these years I thought I was saved. And now she's seen it in the Word of God. Urana, amen, one of our young ladies. Brother Matt from Brother Myers Church. That's another medical student. Came during the day. We taught him a Bible study. That's another medical student. As we taught him a Bible study, come to be baptized. That's Sister Lucia. Amen. She's doing good. There's Alex. He's one of our men that mom's been praying for a wife. Amen. All good young men we have. We were putting the ceiling in. That's why all the pews are pushed to the side. Brother Gillis was down there. And that's Sister Chance's daughter. She came for a weekend and left baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost. Went back to Guyana. Sunday night we had three young men baptized. Dwayne's in the middle. He's right now he's a teacher at Antigua State College, and we're getting in there to be able to preach and teach too. He's making a way. So we're in the university, the medical school, and we're going to be in the state college. That's our choir. It's a youth night, and they're having their fire. Yeah, I do stand on the pulpit once in a while. But why that happened is because you guys sent us. It's not because we went, we were sent.
Oh, thank you, God. And I'd like for the ushers to come at this time. We are just so very thrilled that Brother and Sister Smith answered the call of God to go to the Caribbean Islands. And they have done such a remarkable work. There will be a good host of people in the New Jerusalem as a result of what they have done. So we want you to give liberally. We want to help these people as much as we possibly can. We also will be sponsoring them for so much a month. And we're just very, very thrilled because these are people that not only talk about missions, but they actually do missions. Would you bow your heads with me in prayer? We thank you, Heavenly Father, for the call that you have placed upon the Smiths. And I thank you, God, for all the people who have rallied behind them and supported them. Lord Jesus, we come to this very precious moment in which we will determine what we will do for them this next year. And I'm asking, God, that you move upon us. God, everything that we have really belongs to you. We're not our own. We were bought with a price. And when we received the Holy Ghost, we turned everything over to you. And Lord Jesus, you can pull rank on us anytime that you want to. And I ask, God, that you give us a directive in our giving tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you as you give.
If you have your Bibles, turn to the book of Luke, chapter 9. We're talking about being sent. And if I could just entitle this, it would just be Laborers Together. We are laborers together. But in Luke chapter 9 and verses number 1 and 2, we see here Jesus sending out his 12. It says, then he called his disciples, his 12 disciples together, and gave them what? And over all devils, and to what? Now, doesn't the Bible say you shall receive what? So if you have the Holy Ghost, you have the same power that he gave his disciples. Didn't Peter and John in Acts chapter 3, as they were going into the temple, and they seen the lame man there. He said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, in the name of, rise up and walk. So the power is the Holy Ghost. The authority is his name. So look at verse 2. And he sent them to what? Preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. That's the call for the church, is to preach the kingdom of God, the death, the burial, the resurrection, living a holy, a godly life. And those that are hurting and need help, you are to pray for them, and through the power God has given you and through the authority of the name, you are supposed to pray and believe God with faith for their healing. Amen? And he will honor his word. Right? But that was the 12 apostles. I'm not an apostle. Okay then. Let's look at Luke chapter 10 and verse 1. So you're not an apostle. After these things, the Lord Jesus appointed what? Other 70. These weren't the 12. These are 70 other guys, maybe some ladies. I don't know. It said 70 others. All I know is that there were 70 of them, but they weren't the 12 apostles. Okay? Also, and sent them how? Two by two. The best way when you do outreach, man, is you go two by two or three or whatever. And on the back table, you'll see our flag and our outreach t-shirts are out there. What would happen, pastors, when we were doing outreach, we would go up to a house, man, and they would close the windows and shut the door because they thought we were Jehovah Witnesses. We say, we're not Jehovah Witnesses. So to help us with our outreach, we got these t-shirts that say, do you need a miracle? Well, the Jehovah Witnesses don't work that way. And our other one says, the power of the name. Well, since we've had those t-shirts, they don't close the doors and the windows on us anymore. And a lot of times you can just walk up to somebody, and while they're looking at your t-shirt saying, do you need a miracle? They'll say, I need a miracle. We were doing outreach. It was Dellen and Dwayne and myself. And this elderly man was sitting on his veranda, his little porch. We walked up to him and I said, would you like the Holy Ghost speaking in tongues? And he looked at me and said, oh, that yeah, that's a bunch of foolishness. So I understood I wasn't going to get nowhere with him that way. So then I just began to tell him about the miracles that God did when we prayed for people on the street. And so I'm telling him about these miracles, but then I did throw in, and we've prayed for people to get the Holy Ghost, and they talk in tongues, yada, 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 you know. And he's seeing this shirt, do you need a miracle? And he tells me, you could pray for me. I have colon cancer, and I do need a miracle. So we all three, I just led them, and we began to pray for this man to be healed. Well, after we got done praying, I don't know if it impressed him or what, but or if he just felt a lot better. But then he went in his house and got this big Bible. And this Bible was well worn, man. It was marked up in the pages. You know, this guy used his Bible. He didn't give the Bible to me. He gave it to Dellen, the youngest one of the group. He says, now you show me about this Holy Ghost stuff. So Dellen, man, he just opens his Bible up and he shows him Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 8, Acts chapter 9, Acts chapter 10, and he's just going through it. And when he got done, he looks at Dellen and he goes, well, you could pray for me to get the Holy Ghost. So then, because I prayed for his healing, we just take turns. You got to understand how we work. So then Dellen, he just started praying, and we all prayed with Dellen, but Dellen just starts praying for this guy to get the Holy Ghost. In a matter of a few minutes, he's speaking in tongues. But Dwayne felt left out. So Dwayne grabs the guy's Bible and says, now let me show you, you need to be baptized in Jesus' name. So he took him to Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 8, and he's just going through it, showing the guy in his Bible. And the guy goes, he was ready to get baptized. And all of a sudden, what's going on out there? His wife speaks up. And all of a sudden he's like, And it's like, well, I was already baptized before. I guess that it's okay. He was coming to get baptized. So, well, what do you do? That's just the way it is. So we went our way. And then the next Saturday, I think I had a wedding or something going on. And the boys went back out. And I sent Benjamin with Dylan and Shamari. I said, I want you to go back and give him his certificate for the Holy Ghost. But I want you to teach him the Bible study on baptism. So the boys went there. And he wasn't there, and his wife, she was very upset, said, we don't want you around here. You can just go. Thank you, but please leave. She didn't want nothing to do with us. So the boys just said, that's okay. So they just went down the street and started teaching Bible studies and witnessing other guys, praying for other people. But then they go, let's go check that guy before we go back to church. So they go back to his house, and he's still gone. But his daughter was there and his son-in-law. His daughter was a teacher and his son-in-law was a principal. And they start witnessing to him. And they're looking at these three young men and they're going, do you think you could come to our school and pray for us? And they said, well, call pastor tomorrow or call pastor because school opened on Monday and this was Saturday. So he called me on Sunday afternoon and said, would you please come to our school? He said, I'm principal so-and-so. We open tomorrow. This is where the school is. We want you to pray for us, the teachers, and the students. So eight of us show up with our t-shirts on. Geraldo tells these young men, because he's Antiguan, he says, you guys need to get serious about living for God, but you need to be serious about school too, if you're going to get anywhere in life. And then Benjamin gave a testimony, said, man, I grew up here. This is my home. And then I prayed for everybody. A month later, two ladies and two young men show up. Four of them get baptized and two of them got the Holy Ghost because we went to that school and prayed. And all because we talked to them. And the neatest thing about the whole thing is that old man that we prayed through to the Holy Ghost, one, he was 82 years old. Two, he is a retired Wesleyan Holiness pastor. And we prayed him through to the Holy Ghost. God, you don't know what God's going to do and use you. Amen? So, in Luke 10 and 1, they sent out 70 others, right? And they went, but this is the neatest part about this whole verse. You got to see what it says. He sent them out two by two before whose face? Jesus' face unto every city and place, whether he himself, Jesus, would come. If you want Jesus to show up in your town, in your village, in your park, in your neighborhood, you better get out there first because he came after they went. Not before they went. He came after. He sent them out to do what? Verse 9, that tells the what. This is the who. To heal the sick, amen, that are therein and say unto them, the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. So if you want Jesus to show up in your neighborhood, you need to go out and pray for the sick and tell them the Lord has come. He is here right now and he can meet your need. Amen? So we see the who in verse 1. We see the what in verse 9. But in verse 17 it says how. And the 70 returned again with joy saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name, the authority, man. When you are baptized in his name, you can bear his name. You can wear his name and be proud of it. Amen. So then our last scripture, and then we're going to just have a good, awesome altar call. 1 Corinthians 3 and 9. We are what? How? With God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. We're his building. Not this here. We're God's building. We're God's plan. We're His divine plan. He left the gospel in the hands of men and women. And if we're going to reach this world, we have to go to the field. We have to be a witness. The only way you can do outreach is to reach out. I met with Brother Meyer. Brother Meyer, Dave Meyer, his son, but daddy from New Berlin. They got a group coming down. His son is bringing, they're like around 14 people are coming down for any youth on a mission, because half of them are adults. So it's just on a mission. Amen. But they're coming down. And while we were at the restaurant yesterday, talking, trying to figure out what's going on, how to do it and stuff, the lady brought our food out. And I told Dave, I said, Brother Meyer, watch this. And the lady comes out and she just set the food down. It was just the appetizer. But I said, ma'am, so what's your name? So she gives us her name. I said, you know, we always ask God's blessing upon our food, but we want to pray for you. What do you have need of? And she's like, you want to pray for me? She's like, yeah, we want to pray for you. She goes, for 2 years I've struggled with my throat and this thing, I'm supposed to have an operation. And right there at Applebee's, we just put out our hands, and the waitress grabbed onto our hands, and we prayed a prayer for her, and we didn't pray quiet. We made sure they heard us. And she, man, you want good service? You just pray for your waitress. You want more water? You need this? You need that? They're going to be right there. They will take care of you when you pray for them. And when it was all said and done, we got her name and number. Brother Meyer gave her a vitamin to invite her in. And then we had another server come up and said, it was sure nice to hear you talking about the things of God. I really appreciate that. And we got to talk to her. All because we opened our mouth. Not, my food's too cold and you overcooked it. No, we want to pray for you. We are laborers together, church. We need to take every opportunity we can to minister to people. There are so many hurting people out there. And most people won't tell you they're hurting. You ask somebody, how's it going? They just say, if it's going all right. And you look them straight in the face and say, now tell me how it's really going. And all of a sudden they just gush on you and it's like, whoa. And it's the truth. We need to minister to people. And when you got this gift of God, the Holy Ghost, and you, your sins are washed away in a watery grave because of baptism, you got the greatest gift. You could give me $1 million, but I would rather you give me salvation. Because that's only going to last for the here and now. But what about eternity? You can give somebody eternal gift, salvation, because you open your mouth and just share the gospel with them. Amen? So, we get to be missionaries in Antigua, but you get to be missionaries right here. Amen? You should have as many stories to tell as I do. There's nothing different. Maybe a face or a name, but there's nothing different. Because I just told you about a lady we ministered to here, not in Antigua. We prayed a lady through the Holy Ghost in Sam's Club in Waukesha. That wasn't in Antigua. That was here. We prayed a lady through the Holy Ghost in Anguilla. That wasn't Antigua. That was there. And then she came to Antigua and got baptized. Then we sent her off to Guyana. So you can be a missionary too. Right in your own backyard. Just got to get a little holy boldness and open your mouth. We got Bible studies in the back, man. If you want to use it, you can use it. It's just the gospel. And it's so neat to watch people receive the Word of God. 90% of the people that have been baptized this year, Pastor, you know when they come to get baptized? On Saturday. Or they come Sunday because of Saturday. It's the truth. The people, and every service they had, I think, 3 new visitors this Sunday. Last Sunday they had 5. Because we're going, reaching out. So I'm done. You want to be a missionary? You want God to use you? Why don't you come up here and give yourself to God? Why don't you come up here and say, "Here am I, Lord. Use me." Uh-huh. All he's looking for is a willing vessel. Y'all know my story, man. When I got in this thing, I couldn't even read. He wants to use you. But you got to be willing to go out there and just talk to the people. Oh, but I'm not you, Brother Smith. I still get... You get this funny feeling when you go out because you're nervous. You don't know what's going to happen. But you talk to that first person and all of a sudden, it don't matter, man. It's just the fire comes. And you just get it. Man, you can't but tell people the things of God. So it's not that you're not going to be nervous or afraid or anything like that. But God doesn't give us a spirit of fear. And he wants to use you to be a missionary right here, right now, so you can tell the stories that we've told and more. I tell my boys back home, I say, "I don't want you to preach like me or teach like me. I want you to do more than me. I want you to pray more people through. I want you to do greater things than me, because that's just a legacy of what I've done. I ain't got no chip to put on my shoulder. But if I can teach somebody else to do it and they're doing it, and they teach somebody else and they're doing it, what an awesome thing." Don't you want God to use you? Don't you want to minister to the hurting people that are out there crying for help? That want to know this truth, but they don't? There's people in churches every Sunday. Look at Cornelius. A devout man, one that feared God, one that gave much alms, but he did not know God. And God sent him a man, Peter, to tell him what he must do. That's what we're to do. Tell others what they must do by the word of God. Just show them the word of God. Jesus, use me. If you can use anything, Lord, use me.